Are you dreaming of visiting Switzerland? Planning a trip to Switzerland is very exciting, but it can also be overwhelming. How do you choose which of the many scenic cities, towns, and villages to visit? Which mountaintop excursions should you take? And what's the best way to get around Switzerland? And of course, how much of the country can you realistically see within your time frame? If you've asked yourself any of these questions, this is the podcast for you. This is the Holidays to Switzerland travel podcast, and in each episode, your host Carolyn Schonefinger chats with Swiss travel experts to answer your most commonly asked questions, provide practical tips, and take you on a virtual visit to the most popular destinations, and of course some hidden gems to help you plan your dream trip to Switzerland. And you'll hear plenty of conversations about Swiss cheese and chocolate too. Are you ready to plan your trip to Switzerland? Well, let's get started.
Grüezi, and thanks for joining me on another episode of the Holidays to Switzerland travel podcast. Which cities and towns in Switzerland are on your so-called bucket list? Are you planning to visit Zurich, Lucerne, the Jungfrau region, and Zermatt? For most visitors, especially first-time visitors to Switzerland, these are the destinations they head to. And you won't be disappointed if these places are included in your itinerary. They are all very special places with plenty of Swiss charm and stunning landscapes. They are, after all, Swiss hotspots for a reason. But why not mix your itinerary up a bit and include a destination that's still mostly off the tourist radar, especially for international tourists? You don't have to go far out of your way, and you'll be rewarded with beautiful scenery and some pretty impressive architectural delights. I'm talking about the city of St. Gallen and its neighbour Bodensee, or Lake Constance, which is in eastern Switzerland. St. Gallen is just an hour from Zurich and is home to the magnificent UNESCO World Heritage listed Abbey of St. Gall. To tell us all about the many highlights of St. Gallen and Bodensee, I'm joined today by Toby Treichler, Deputy Director of St. Gallen Bodensee Tourism. Toby has lots to share about St. Gallen, including what to see and do, what local specialties to try, and he also reveals a couple of secret places to visit too. St. Gallen is definitely worth visiting when you are planning a tour around Switzerland. But before we hear from Toby, I'd like to say, as always, thank you to the folks from Switzerland Tourism for sponsoring the podcast. Make sure you visit their website, myswitzerland.com, for heaps of information and inspiration to help with your trip planning. And remember, if you need to go on a tour, you need Switzerland. So why not make St. Gallen a part of your tour? Good morning, Toby. Thank you for coming onto the podcast. Would you like to start by telling our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me today. And yeah, my name's Tobias Toby Treichler. Living right now in St. Gallen. Working in the tourism industry as a deputy director of St. Gallen Bodensee Tourism, but I'm originally from Zurich, so I grew up on a smaller lake than I'm now responsible for. And yeah, what I do the whole day is trying to convince people to come to see and to visit my region and try to inspire them. And hope they come one day and they see what I have to offer here in St. Gallen.
Wonderful. So for those listeners who haven't heard of St. Gallen, can you tell us exactly where it is and a bit about the city? What should we know about it?
With pleasure. I mean, if it comes to St. Gallen, it's the eighth biggest city in Switzerland. It's located in the far eastern part of Switzerland. One of our so-called USPs is the fact that we are in the four country corner. So being at the lake or around the lake of Constance, that means that we're bordering Germany, Austria, and Liechtenstein. So if you come to see and visit my region, it's very easy to travel around the lake of Constance and to visit other countries, maybe in 1 or 2 days. So this is what we are kind of proud of, and that's what you will experience while you're in St. Gallen. Having said, eight biggest cities, so it's a boutique town. It's not comparable to like bigger cities, major cities in Europe or Switzerland. But it's easy to reach from major airports, whether in Germany, Munich, or in Zurich. What I usually love to say about my region is it's Switzerland within Switzerland. So everything that what makes Switzerland so great, I mean, cheese, chocolate, mountains, whatever, is located in the eastern part, and it's easy to reach. It's easy accessible. So, yeah, you can experience Switzerland in 1 or 2 days by coming to St. Gallen and just dive into what the city has to offer.
Sounds fantastic. So what is St. Gallen best known for?
I would say three things. Number one would be the UNESCO World Heritage Site with its Abbey Library. It's the third oldest library in the world. So this is quite amazing to promote, and it's a very nice place to visit. Secondly, we used to be the capital of the textile industry back in the good old days, maybe around 18th and 19th century. So still until today, you can see it and you can feel it, that the textile industry was very important for the city and for the region itself. And thirdly, we are the capital of the sausage. We are known for our Olmer sausage, the Bratwurst, so-called in German. And within Switzerland, if you say that you're from St. Gallen, they usually say, that's where this famous sausage is coming from, and you never eat it with mustard. So it's kind of a running gag within Switzerland, and they try to promote this as well.
Okay, great. Now, I'd like to talk to you more about the UNESCO World Heritage Site, because I've seen photos of inside the library and the Abbey, and it just looks amazing. So when does that date back to, and can you tell us a bit more about the Abbey district or the Abbey complex?
I mean, if it comes to the very beginning, it would be good to go back to the year 612, when the Irish monk Gallus came to the place St. Gallen is now located. He came across the Lake of Constance. He was tired, and he walked up through the forest. And when he felt, he thought that it might be a sign of God, so he had to stay there. So the beginning, 612. But the time when they started to build the monastery itself, it's about 715. So by this time, it also started with the library. Although the library, like it looks today, that maybe dates back in the 15th to 16th century. So it's an old one. It's a very old one. And it hosts over 170,000 different books dating back to 715, when they first tried to write down their stories. So it's quite an old library, but still not outfashioned, and they're still a very nice place to visit.
Yeah, sounds wonderful. So what else makes up the Abbey complex? Because it's not just the library, is it?
It is the monastery. It used to be a monastery till the 18th century, so we have no more monks living actually within the Abbey district, but it used to be. So the bishop is still there, but only a few monks. We have not only the Abbey library, we do have two other exhibition halls, I like to call them. And one of them is of importance because it hosts the oldest monastery map or plan of its kind, dating back to 928. It was the first piece of art of a map of its kind. So they drawed a map of a monastery, and they rebuilt it in a way in St. Gallen. So you have the map from the 10th century, and you can actually see what they made out of this map. And when they built it, they tried to do it as close as they could by this time. So this is one thing: the monastery, the cathedral, the Abbey library, the whole district, and the three different kind of experience and exhibition halls.
Okay. So the photos I've seen of there's a roof that's just really, or ceiling that's really richly decorated. Is that in the cathedral or is that in the library itself?
It could be both. Was it more a bit brownish?
Yes.
Then it's the Abbey Library.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, then it's the Abbey Library. But if you go into the cathedral and you look on top, it's also very beautiful, painted and decorated. It shows the history of St. Gallen with the monks and Gallus and the legacy of the bear coming and trying to kill the monk, and he convinced him to help him and stuff like that. So, but if it comes to a bit of brownish touch, then it's the Abbey Library. Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, I'll definitely look forward to seeing that for myself pretty soon. And I'll put some photos of both those ceilings in the show notes so that people listening can have a look and see what we're talking about. So when we go to St. Gallen, are we free just to wander around the Abbey District and go into the library, or is it only open for special purposes?
No. You have to pay an admission fee, as it's kind of a museum, but you're free to go. There's one thing that is not allowed. It's not allowed to take pictures inside the Abbey Library, and that usually confuses visitors from all around the world, because, yeah, nowadays everything has to be Instagrammable. But we want to protect the books, so it's not allowed to take pictures. That's the only thing that it's, it's a bit different to probably other museums in St. Gallen and around the world.
But some things are worth just taking a photo with your eyes, aren't they, and just having that memory rather than having to actually put it on Instagram. Just have it in your mind.
Yeah, and if you ask me, I can send pictures to you, no worries. If you ask the people responsible for the Abbey, they will love to share pictures with you. And there is a selfie spot at the entrance, so you don't have to leave without a picture of you and the Abbey in the back.
Wonderful. Okay, so what else is there to see and do in St. Gallen?
Besides the Abbey District, I would recommend to go on a guided tour or on a self-guided tour. Because usually, if you're not familiar with the history or the region itself, it's going to help you figure out what happened in the back in the days. Or you just struggle around, go through the old town, and then just have a close look at the architecture of the houses. I was talking about the textile industry, and the textile industry made people in that days extremely rich. I mean, the city of St. Gallen was probably one of the richest cities within Switzerland. I mean, exporting about 43% of the whole embroideries worldwide, they came from St. Gallen. So the people, they got very rich. That's what you can experience nowadays. So you have to check out all the buildings with its rich history and rich architecture, something you shouldn't miss. Because we usually have this iPhone head down mentality, and then we look only on our iPhones. So please have a look up and check out the architecture. So we have the old town, we have the Abbey District, and close to the old town, there is our living room. We call it living room. It's also known as the Red Square because it's a red carpet. It's probably one of the only red squares that is actually red, because there is a red carpet designed by a famous Swiss designer and also an architect. So there were two of them. They designed it. So this is something else. And I would recommend, if you have the time and you're a bit tired of walking around, just go a bit up the hill, because St. Gallen is in more or less in a valley. So you can go a bit up the hill, or you take the cable car or is it a cable car? Yeah, it is a cable car. Yeah. It's a short one, but it is one. And then you can come up to the so-called three ponds. The artificial ponds made for the textile industry because we needed the water. And due to other reasons, because of fires maybe in the city. And this is where you'll have a very nice view over the city, over the old town. And actually, you can see the Lake of Constance as well. And you can swim there in summer. You can go to the sauna in winter. So this is another place you have to visit.
Okay, that sounds great. Now, you mentioned before about the sausages. So obviously they're a specialty that we need to try when we visit St. Gallen. But is there anything else that is, you know, a must try?
Besides the sausage, or in German called Bratwurst, beginning and starting with the letter B, we have three other B's. We have the beer, that's easy, also in English. Then we have the bread, Again, very easy. So we have the three B's, and then we have a sweet pastry called the Biber. It's not the animal. It's relating to the Latin word of pepper, bibere, I guess. It was more or less like that. So we have the four B's. You have to try all of them. And usually you start with the bratwurst, the sausage, with the bürli, the bread, and then with the beer. Then you have, at the end, you have the Biber, the sweet pastry.
The perfect meal. Now, St. Gallen Bordensee Tourism, who you're the deputy director for, is also responsible for promoting some other destinations in eastern Switzerland. Like you previously mentioned there, Lake Constance. So for the people that are listening that don't realise, Bordensee is the German name and Lake Constance is the English name. So I'd like to ask you about a few of the other places that that you help promote. One of them is, and sorry if I pronounce this incorrectly, Rorschach on Lake Constance. What can you tell me about that town?
If it comes to my region and area, there's only a little part of it directly bordering the Lake of Constance. So we're very proud that we have at least Rorschach. That was absolute perfectly pronounced. The further away you're from, the easier it is to understand that it's for us, even if we are not with the city at the Lake of Constance, that is for us is the harbor. It's about 20 minutes away from the old town or from downtown by car, about 10 minutes by train and 15 minutes by bus. So it's very close to the city itself. And for us, it's just the harbor. It's where the river cruises into the Rhine Valley start, where the boats are starting crossing the Lake of Constance versus Lindau, for example, in Germany, or Friedrichshafen or other places, Constance. So it's very important for us because a lot of people, especially from the German side, in summer, they're traveling across the Lake of Constance. You don't have to show any passports, nothing. And then you arrive in Rorschach. And so it is kind of a second hot spot for us.
Okay. And is it what sort of population is it? Is it quite a small town or is it busy?
A small town. It's a very small town. I mean, if it comes to St. Gallen, we have 80,000 inhabitants. So this is the eighth smallest city. And Rorschach is maybe 15,000. So it's very, very small.
Okay. Now, another place that I've heard of, I really know nothing about, is Vil, spelt W-I-L. So what's so special about it?
Even for us, we are not promoting Vil that much, even though it would be important. So if you go back in history and if you go back in time, then you would have found the monastery in St. Gallen with the bishop, with the monks. So more all the people are gone into religious purposes. And the other hand, in Vil, you would have found, I'm not sure if it's correct translated, but if I try to translate it, it's called Prince Abbot City, or the city of the Prince Abbot. Would be the first abt in German, but I'm pretty sure there is an English word, and I don't know it. But okay, so it was more the economic center of the region. So we have more the religious, and then we had Wiel, where you could find all the politicians and where the economic things happened. So this is the biggest difference between the two of them. Nowadays, St. Gallen is the capital of the eastern part of Switzerland, and Wiel is just also, like Rorschach, not that big.
Okay. And also, you've covering the Rhine Valley. So what can you tell us about that, and what can people see and do when they go to visit the Rhine Valley?
If it comes to the Rhine Valley, I would say there are three things you have to have in mind. First of all, it's a wine region. So it's the Rhine and the Wine Valley. So we're growing grapes there. And some of the best wines in Switzerland, they're coming actually from the Rhine Valley. So wine, number one. You have the Rhine. So you can experience the Rhine. You can walk along the Rhine, go by bike. There are some bike tours, bike routes. So it's more for leisure. And the third thing is you can go across the Rhine into Austria. So rather looks the same on both sides. It is green, the Rhine is in the middle, and we do have mountains around. But the mentality, maybe the food, you pay in euro, not in Swiss francs. So this is, from my perspective, the main three reasons to go and the main differences to the other parts of my destination.
Yeah, okay. So you can have a visit, an international visit, just by crossing the river.
Yeah. And there is also maybe a fourth highlight if you go to the Principality of Liechtenstein, what people from other countries love to do. They go to Vaduz, the capital of Liechtenstein, to get their fake stamp into the passport just to say I was mm-hmm. there. It's not a valley, but it's a cool thing to do, and yeah, a lot of people love to do that.
Yeah. And how long does it take to get to Vaduz from St. Gallen?
By car, I would say 25 minutes, and yeah. by train, and then you have to change to the bus, it's probably 50 minutes to an hour.
Yeah. But it's very close. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, I think you also cover parts of Appenzeller Land as well. And we had an episode, episode 18, which was dedicated entirely to Appenzeller Land. And it's quite a rural part of the country, isn't it? So what, why, in your opinion, why is it a must-visit destination?
First of all, it's the town Appenzell itself. So you were mentioning it is more a region, part of the eastern part of Switzerland. The people are still very traditional if it comes to their clothing, to the way they're living. I mean, they have the same things as we do, but they have more these traditional events taking place through the year. And the town of Appenzell is, how can I say that in the proper word? It's tiny and it's so cozy.
Authentic.
It is authentic, yeah, but it's also so cozy. It's also, you feel very welcome if you're there. Even though the people of Appenzell, they don't like any people besides themselves. And this is pretty cool. I mean, there is always kind of a fight between Appenzell Innerrhoden, so the heart of Appenzell, and Ausserrhoden is more around the center. So we have two cantons there, and St. Gallen. So St. Gallen, the big brother, and the little sister is Appenzell, and so we always have a good fight if it comes to different kind of things we have in common. But this is why it's worth to go to, and just the landscape, and then go to the mountains and just enjoy life. So it's easy. You can calm down and just be there and relax.
Yeah, so you can have a taste of both worlds. You can be in the city in St. Gallen and then go out into the countryside for the beautiful landscapes.
Absolutely, yep. Yeah.
So is there a best time of year to visit St. Gallen, do you think?
It depends on what you're looking for. I mean, if it comes more to fairs, it would be in autumn maybe or in spring. But if you just want to have a good leisure time and enjoy the beauty of nature, of the mountains and the lake, so it's during summer, right now, June, May, June, July. Perfect. Even though it's main season, it might be a main traveling season. But as we are not like one of the hotspots in Europe, you'll have always enough space to have a good time.
Yeah, okay, great. And I believe that you have a pretty special Christmas market or a light show at Christmas time too. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, we do have the Christmas market itself. It's not one of the biggest, and there are... it's probably better you go maybe to Konstanz and Lindau on the German side. They have bigger Christmas markets, but St. Gallen is known for the fact that we are the city of the 700 stars. Sternenstadt in German, city of the 700 stars. So from end of November till the 6th of January, we have 700 stars illuminating the old town. And these stars are representing the 14 quarters of the town. So it has to do with history, and it's just spectacular. Yeah, it's just nice, beautiful, and a good time.
Okay, sounds lovely. So if our listeners have only got one day in their itinerary that they can spend in St. Gallen or surrounds, how would you suggest they spend their time that day?
if they just arrive in the morning, I would suggest to go to one of the coffee shops just to start the day with a good cup of coffee, because we have the oldest, one of the oldest coffee bean. What's this thing? Is that called roastery?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Roast, okay. It's the oldest in Switzerland. So we are also a bit known for coffee, maybe not like Vienna in Austria, but okay, you start with a cup of coffee. Then you go to see, because they open at 10, you go to see the Abbey Library, the Abbey District, guided or non-guided, self-guided, whatever you want. Depends on if you're traveling alone, by yourself, or in a group. Maybe then makes sense to go on a guided tour. You need to spend about 2 hours to see and to experience the whole Abbey District. Then it's time for the sausage. So there are some shops, restaurants, or smaller shops to go to and to buy and to enjoy a sausage with the purely the bread. And if you want to already start with the beer. Later in the afternoon, you just go through the old town and maybe do some shopping, go to the Red Square. Maybe you go up to the Three Ponds just to do some nice photos of the area. Go to the Grand Tour of Switzerland photo spot to have the two towers of the cathedral in the back. And then if you have still enough time, why not just having a glass of wine from the region? Mm-hmm. And just zoom up today and maybe travel back to wherever you stay.
Wonderful. Sounds great. Now, before I let you go, do you have any local secrets or special places to visit that you'd like to share with us? We promise not to tell too many people, so they're no longer secret.
Since the whole area is still kind of a secret place for most of the people around the world, you can go wherever you want. It's always special. But there is a place where you can see into the four different countries. So it's a bit uphill overlooking the Lake of Constance. It's not so easy to get to this place. So it might be a kind of a secret place to go to, but it is accessible by car, of course, and coach as well, and also by train. But it needs a bit of time to go there. But the view overlooking the Lake of Constance is just amazing. And the other thing is I would go to it's not a secret spot anymore, but if you go to Appenzell and then a bit further to Wasserauen, another place called Wasserauen, you can walk and hike up to one of the most famous places in the area. It's a restaurant built into the rock, mm-hmm. Overlooking the so-called Alpstein, so the pre-Alps. Yeah, this is also a half-secret spot. And the Rhine. The Rhine. If you go on a river cruise or by train to a place called Rhein-Eck, where the Rhine is coming and floating into the Bodensee, it's just a place where you will see a lot of birds and different kind of flowers and stuff like that. If you're into that, that would be a nice place to go to.
Okay, that's great. I'll get you to give me all that info, and I'll put that in the show notes so if people can check out those places. So where can our listeners find out more about St. Gallen and Bordensee?
The easiest way to get more information is go on Google or go on our website, stgallenbordensee.ch, and you'll find way more information about whatever you're looking for if it comes to nature, sport activities or culture activities. That's where you find all of the informations. On myswitzerland.com also, there are a lot of information about the eastern part, because it's not only St. Gallen. Even though I'm responsible for St. Gallen, there are other areas you were mentioning, Appenzell, but there is also Toggenburg, Thurgau, Schaffhausen with the Rheinfall. So there is way more to see and to experience than only St. Gallen. But it's probably the best place to go to.
Of course. Well, thank you. I'm sure there's plenty of inspirational places we can visit in eastern Switzerland and have a totally different experience to visiting some of the other more popular hotspots and get that real contrast. Yeah. Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time, Toby.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining me today. I hope you've enjoyed hearing all about St. Gallen and Bordensee. and will include a visit to this part of eastern Switzerland in your Swiss itinerary. I'll include a link to the St. Gallen Bodensee Tourism website in the show notes for this episode, as well as details of the secret places Toby mentioned and photos of the Abbey Library and Cathedral, so you can have a look and see just how magnificent it is. It'll definitely inspire you to visit, I can guarantee it. You can find the show notes at holidaystoswitzerland.com/episode50. Before I go, I'd like to say a huge thanks to every one of you lovely listeners, whether you've been tuning in for a long time or have recently found the podcast. I can't believe there are now 50 episodes published. I've loved chatting to the wonderful guests who have kindly agreed to come onto the podcast to share their special part of Switzerland or their special interest with us. There are plenty more amazing guests ready to share their expertise with you in coming episodes too. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. And please tell your friends, family, and colleagues who are planning a visit to Switzerland about the podcast too. I'd be so grateful. Until next time, tschüss.
If you'd like more great resources to help you plan your dream trip to Switzerland, there are lots of ways to connect with us. Visit our website, holidaystoswitzerland.com, sign up for our monthly newsletter, or join our friendly, helpful community of past and future travellers in our Switzerland Travel Planning Group. You'll also find the links to connect with us in the show notes for this episode. Show notes and a list of all previous episodes are available at holidaystoswitzerland.com/podcast. Don't miss out on your fortnightly dose of Swiss travel inspo. Hit the subscribe button on your favourite podcast app so you never miss an episode. And if you enjoyed the show, please leave a rating. That's all for this edition of the Holidays to Switzerland Travel Podcast. Thanks for joining us and happy travel planning.